Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise interviews from Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia. You're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews. Welcome to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship. Listen to interviews with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And now, welcome your host, Marty McDermott, and Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 10 years now, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with Gary Finley, and Gary is a veteran of the franchising industry. Gary has over 25 years' experience in helping entrepreneurs build over 9,500 franchise locations worldwide with only two brands. He now oversees one of the fastest-growing restoration franchises in the country and as CEO of Restoration One, a franchise brand with more than 120 locations open and in development. I'm going to talk to Gary about that in just a moment on Franchise Interview. So stick around because we have a great show.
The Stone Coat Franchise Opportunity. Are you looking for a unique and lucrative franchise opportunity? If so, take a look at Stone Coat. With a patented process which creates a true stone finish on almost any wall or ceiling, Stone Coat is a true game-changing in the multi-billion dollar construction industry. Stone Coat is applied faster, cleaner, and cheaper than conventional quarried stone, which saves both time and money. With advantages in remodel and new construction of both residential and commercial projects, Stone Coat is a true crossover product. The Stone Coat Franchise Opportunity provides a low startup cost, low operating expenses, comprehensive training, ongoing support, and no royalty payments. For more information on the Stone Coat Franchise Opportunity, go to www.stonecoatfranchise.com. That's www.stonecoatfranchise.com or call us at 972-380-2700. That's 972-380-2700.
Hi, this is Connie McDermott, Administrative Assistant for Franchise Interviews, LLC, and you are listening to Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. From Easton, Pennsylvania to Sydney, Australia, you're listening to Franchise Interviews. Franchise Interviews.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 10 years now, we've been asking the franchisepreneurs to own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott. I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Gary Finley, and Gary is a veteran of the franchising industry. Gary Finley has over 25 years' experience in helping entrepreneurs build over 9,500 franchise locations worldwide with only two brands. He now oversees one of the fastest-growing restoration franchises in the country as CEO of Restoration One, a franchise brand with more than 120 locations open in development. Hi, Gary. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Marty, I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, Gary. It's a privilege to finally have you on the show. You know, I've been following your career for such a long time now. What does it feel like when you hear that number, 9,500? Does it still give you a thrill?
It does. Actually pretty amazing to me, especially come from my background. I tell people I'm a bit of a redneck. I grew up in the country, and so for me to have had that under my belt is a great thing. You know, they don't come very often, but
right.
Yeah, I'm excited to have been part of that.
It's a great story, Gary. You wouldn't know this. I teach marketing for Kaplan University, Gary, and one of the marketing textbooks we used to use spoke about curves. We had this big section in there talking about you and curves and the success of curves. You had a similar experience when you went back to school, didn't you?
I did. It was really funny. I got out of high school and not one of the kids that said, "Hey, I'm heading off to college. Where I'm going to go?"
Mm-hmm.
I'm an entrepreneur at heart, so I wanted to make money. So I actually started to work for the railroad and eventually got back into franchising. We launched Curves and had a great success story. After that, I said, look, I think I'll go back to college and get my degree. So So I went back to University of Mary Hardin Baylor to get my degree in business. And first day of class, we're sitting there in our marketing class, and our instructor says, hey, read chapters 1 through 3, and I get home and I open it up. Chapter number 1 is the story of curves, and I said, I think I'll make an A in this class.
I love that story. That's one of my favorite stories in doing the show over 10 years. I just thought that was fantastic when I heard that. I said, what a thrill that must have been for you. You know, that's really fantastic. What do you like most about franchising, Gary? Because you've been involved in franchising. You got involved at a very young age. What is it that you like most about franchising?
Yeah, I started, Marty, when I was about 20 years old and started with a company that had one franchise back then. And what I have loved about it and really got intrigued early on was, you know, how you could take an idea and a concept and spread it across the world very rapidly in most cases, and to be able to offer, an opportunity for people to go into work for themselves. And most people, you know, they don't want to have to figure it all out. They want to come in and have a proven system. So when you put that system together and you go out there and you have something that is worthwhile, it's just fun watching that. And so for me, you know, I've actually represented probably 20 different brands, all the way from dog daycares to kids cooking schools to fitness to now restoration. So, you know, I found that, franchising is franchising. It's just you each time I change what we may be, you know, putting out there for the consumer.
Right.
But for the most part, the goal is still the same. That's to put people in business.
What makes a great franchise, Gary? You've seen this because you've been involved for such a long time now. You know, there's so many different opportunities out there. You know, some of them are good and some of them are not so good. But, you know, from your experience, what makes a good franchise?
Yeah, you know, I would say that for the most part, you know, I'm 55 years old, and I wouldn't say I'm at the end of my career, but a few years ago, after being in this for 25 years, I said if I were going to open my own business today, I'm the typical person out there looking for a business, I would say, you know, what am I looking for? And so I started putting those things together, and I said, you know, number one, I don't want brick and mortar. I want low investment. I want high margins. I want low overhead. And I want as close to recession and resistant as I can get without having to go back to 2008 and the things that we experienced. And so for me, the service industry matched that. And so a great system is one that meets the times. What are people looking for? What do they need every day? If you wake up tomorrow morning, step out of bed, and you step in 3 feet of water, you can't say, hey, I'll fix that later. It's got to be done. So, you know, you're going to need a plumber. You're going to need a restoration company. So a great company has good processes and systems in place, and it's been successful. And so that's what I look for and find something that is, again, it's going to be something that the consumers need.
And that's what you saw, I imagine, in Restoration One, Gary, you know, and why, you know, of course, you got involved in the company. And again, it seems like you have this, you know, this gift or this skill, you know, where you can identify, you know, a good opportunity. Maybe we could talk a little bit about the history of Restoration One.
Yeah, so I got involved in Restoration One, I'd say about 3 years ago. And I went in really as a consultant. I was doing consulting for about 6 different brands. Some of them were brand new startups, and then some of them were emerging, like Restoration One. They had about 22 locations, and they were doing well, but there were just no systems and processes in place whatsoever, and not really even a team. And, you know, it was just the owner of the company understood the restoration business, but not franchising. So he was smart enough to know what he didn't know, and he reached out to me and said, look, you know, I need to get this in the hands of someone that knows what they're doing in taking a franchise company and developing it. So that's how we got involved. And so in the last I started off doing sales for them in development, and then I took over January of 2016 as the CEO. And he said, look, hands off, I'm going to back up. Now you do what you do best and run with it. And so we took it over, and so it's kind of, you know, where we were before Gary and where we were after Gary. And we've had some tremendous success, added on over 120 locations in that 18 months. And we moved in our rankings of Franchise 500 from number, you know, 393 to number 96. And
that's great.
So it's been tremendous, tremendous growth.
How do you describe the concept, Gary? I mean, if you're at a franchise show, you know, you've been to a lot of them over the years, you know, and someone, you know, were to come up to the Restoration One booth and they say, you know, the typical question sometimes is, you know, so what do you guys do? How do you typically respond?
Yeah, so I go back, you know, I'll tell you, I go back to the things I told you a while ago, and that is, well, you know, what are you looking for in a business? And trying to find out what they want, because it's more important. One of the successes we're having is the degree of people we're bringing into the business. And so it's just as important for me as it is for them. And so I talk to them about what are their goals, what are they looking for. And then I explain to them our industry. And our industry truly is a recession-resistant industry, because you cannot control when a pipe's going to break. You cannot control when you're going to find mold in your home or when you're going to have, you know, small fire. Those things just happen. And so that something has to come along and someone be able to take care of those. So I describe it, we're in the service industry. We are not, you know, we're looking to, as a franchisee, we're not looking for the man in the van. We're looking for somebody who wants to create a business opportunity.
Right.
And, you know, it's not, I'm the first to admit, it's not the sexiest business. But what I'm finding today is that the people that are buying this, they are executives. They come from high-level jobs, and they all are saying the same thing I'm at. Hey, I looked at some of these other things, but this fits what I'm looking for. I don't want to go all in right now. I'm at the end of my career, but I want a business that ramps up quickly and as a need that people have. So that's kind of, you know, that's my elevator pitch with people, is this is a business that meets those criteria. You can get in and ramp up quickly and have a successful large business.
And the industry, like you were saying, Gary, I mean, imagine it's huge. I mean, since we've moved here to Pennsylvania, we've been here about 13 years now. We've had two incidents already with water damage. So, I mean, it happens to pretty much everyone at some point, doesn't it?
It happened to me. So that was and it happened about that time I was looking at this criteria of what I would look for in a business. Had somebody that was in our home. We had just in the process of selling it. Came home one day, the bottom floors flooded, and had a group of guys, got local company, came in, and you know they said, they didn't say, but you know the people that put my original floors in said, I don't think you'll ever save them. They saved the floors, they saved everything in there, and they were in and out in about 5 days, and it was a $30,000 job. And I said, holy smoke, this is a great thing, because me as the consumer, I had very little to do with it, you know. And so I said, you know, I watched how it worked and how easy it was, and said, you know, I am the consumer. And then I start finding, okay, my neighbor has one of these things happen. So if I'm the average consumer, then I can make this work. So, yeah, it happens all the time. Hopefully I won't have two more like yourself, but, you know, it did happen. And it will happen to most people.
Yes, it will happen to most people. And little did you know that, you know, you would be the CEO one day of Restoration One, right? It was kind of like a sign from God, I guess you could say that.
Absolutely, you know? Yep, which has been the story of my life. I didn't know a lot of things when I was 17 years old out throwing hay up on top of a haystack. I had no clue then that one day I'd look up and I would be running a international company with 9,000 locations. So, you know what, by the grace of God, you know, I guess I had some favor.
That's terrific. What's been one of the most interesting things that's happened to you, Gary, since joining Restoration One? I know you probably have a lot of stories. I mean, you have probably hundreds of stories, you know, throughout your career, but specifically with Restoration One, is there anything that stands out?
You know, it's kind of funny. As long as I've been doing this, I have every concept I've ever had, and I've worked with, you know, I had franchise conventions and conferences like most franchisors do.
Right.
And this is the only time we had our third one this last year. And one of the comments that I've made to people over and over and over again, you know, there have been times when I was with a concept that when I went to the conference, I darn near needed security to walk around with me, because franchisees would just not be happy. This is one to where people are coming up and saying, thank you for, you know, doing all the things that you've put in place. It's just been, you know, I would say the thing that surprised me is the quality of the franchisees that we've got in the business. and their success and just their happiness in the system. So that's been a little rare for me. I mean, you know, it's not that it's
right.
always been that way, but I've never went to the first three conferences and not had somebody catch me in the corner to complain about something. So
right.
that tells me we're doing things right. So I would say that, you know, that's probably the most amazing thing to me, and just the opportunities that we've been providing to people.
You're talking about your franchisees, Gary. You know, I mean, what do you look for in your franchisees? You were mentioning that, you know, there's a nice diversity, you know, people retiring, you know, perhaps coming from corporate America. Are there any specific characteristics that you look for in your franchisees with Restoration One?
Yeah, you know, today it's just a different buyer. It's a different
mm-hmm.
buyer than it was, you know, 20 years ago, and even different
right.
10 years and 5 years ago. So most of these people are coming out of corporate America. And they're looking at, again, I said it earlier, that we really are truly not the company to come to if you're just a person that wants to be the man in a van and you say, you know, I want to do this a little part-time. These are people
right.
that want to build organizations. And so we're looking – that's who we're looking for. So they're coming out of, you know, the executives with high-level companies that are out there. I mean, I've got people from Wall Street. I got bankers. While, again, this is not a sexy business – they understand the opportunity, and as being a business person, that's what they're looking for. So we look for people that can build a business and understand the economics. So we spend a lot of time by providing software on how can you manage your business, not just run out there and run around with your hair on fire, but actually have a plan and a procedure to do it.
You're talking about software, Gary. How has technology played a role in the business today from when Restoration One first started?
Yeah, we've had to do quite a bit. When we first came on, we
mm-hmm.
did not have an operating management software for the franchisees. So everybody was kind of using their own thing. So
right.
That was the first thing we did. I brought on a staff of people. You know, my staff is half of them come from the restoration industry. The other half come from the franchise industry. So they understood the value of technology, so they started putting those things in place. So we've have that. So now they know how to run their business. We put technology in place for texting programs on how they can get more leads, and then we use it, you know, very strongly for, you know, PPC campaigns and how
mm-hmm.
how to drive in customers. So those were things that were not done early on, and now we're really driving those typical things that a lot of people don't think about make a big difference in your business.
That's terrific. That's important. What, for our listeners, Gary, what is a typical day like for a Restoration One franchisee? I mean, I guess it depends, right? Because, I mean, some of them might be owner-operators and, you know, some of them might just be running the business. I mean, what is a typical day like?
Yeah, it's going to be different. It's going to be different based on where they are in their,
mm-hmm.
you know, they may be – the person. We have a training going on right now. It's finishing up. We do a two-week training program. It's finishing up with 13 people in there. It's one of our biggest classes we've ever had. So it depends on what stage they are. But mostly they're going to get up and they're going to meet with their team. They're going to have a salesperson on their team, and they're going to give them direction on sending them where to go based on our training, get them out, get everybody started, and then they're going to, if they're the manager, not doing the work, that person is going to manage the technician on the jobs. They're going to go out, usually bid the jobs, and then they bring in the technician, get them started, and then help them monitoring. So their job is to go out and create relationships
mm-hmm.
with people in the plumbing industry, HVAC people, electricians, property management. So most of their job is out developing relationships.
That's great, and that's so important. One of the franchises that we had on our show years ago, Gary, was Blue Frog Plumbing and Drain. And
yeah.
I know that you you recently acquired them, didn't you? Maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we acquired them a few months ago. You know, one of the things that I've said early on, after we got our systems and processes in place, had our franchisees successful and had this, you know, not necessarily on an autopilot, but you know, had the things in place, that we would start looking for other brands or other concepts that would complement the restoration business. And it turns out that we work every single day with plumbers. And this
right.
is a business that complements us very
Makes
well.
Sense.
So I started looking around, and turned out that I knew these guys. They used to live in Waco, where I'm from. And I knew a little bit about them. And, you know, I'm also all about branding. And I love their brand. I love their name, what they did. And so they were at about the same level that Restoration One was when I stepped in. So I said, look, if we take our same team, our same processes, and implement it there, we should have the same success.
What are your plans to grow these complementary businesses then, Gary?
So, you know, for, let's just take it, Restoration One, Blue Frog, we're going to continue to add to our teams. Matter of fact, in the last 2 weeks, I've added a director of national accounts. I hired a VP of marketing. I hired a VP of national sales. All the people that we need to go out now and start really building both these companies nationwide to bring us more leads in. And then in addition to that, we're still having meetings on other companies that would even complement the plumbing business. We had one last week. So we're going to continue to look for four or five concepts that all feed off each other to where they can continue to, you know, give referrals and go back and forth. Or a franchisee could own all concepts and be able to cover every part of a home or business when they go in there.
The majority of our listeners, Gary, we call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. You know, most of them have it in their mind that they would like to get into franchising. I mean, from everything that you've learned up to this point, you know, there's so much out there today, isn't there? What advice would you give to our listeners in their quest to buy a franchise?
Here's what I would say is that, you know, when you're a prospective franchisee, you're out there, you're talking to several different concepts. You're talking to development people, and let's just face it, development people are going to tell you about their business, and they're going to tell you all the good with the business. When you really want to know what a franchise is all about, talk to their franchisees. And we're not going to we're not going to do like some of the companies I've seen in the past where we direct you to our two or three people that are going to say all great things. We're going to direct you to all of them. Here's my list. Call any of them because I want you to have the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the biggest response I've had come back is it's been kind of interesting. I've had some people come up to me and say, look, here's one issue I have. And I said, okay, what is that? I'm not finding anybody that's got anything bad to say. And while that's not a issue, sometimes people think, well, what in the heck's going on? Well, you know, now that we have 150 locations, they know I'm not calling all 150. So, you know, I'm wise enough to know not everybody's happy all the time. But I think you'll find somebody, if things are just not necessarily going their way, they all of them will still tell you that it is, we are working, we get up every day, go to bed every night, trying to figure out how do we drive revenue to our franchisees. Because at the end of the day, that's how I make money too. So it does me no good to put dots on a map. I'm not looking to put dots on a map. I want to help people create wealth and create opportunity, and that's how we do it.
That's terrific. That's great advice. Have you found more women getting involved in franchising, Gary? I recently wrote a paper on women, gender, and franchising. Do you find more women getting involved in this particular industry?
We have. We had our first, I would say, probably 3 months ago, had our first female owner come on board, and she bought
that's
three
great.
Locations. And then since then, we've seen others. And so that's exciting. I mean, we welcome everyone. I mean, there are – everyone out there has the opportunity to build a business, and what you need is a system and process. Our systems and processes work for everybody. So here it is. Here's the handbook. Take it and go with it. So, yeah, we're seeing that. I think that's a great trend.
Absolutely. I totally agree. So I can ask you the next question. I mean, where do you see Restoration One? You know, if you could look into a crystal ball, Gary, maybe like 3 to 5 years down the road, where do you see Restoration One?
Yeah, you know, when I met with the franchisees at my very first conference and I came on board and took over, and we were sitting there with about 20 locations, and I said, look, I want by the end of the year, we were in March, I said, I want to have 100 locations by the end of the year, 200 by the end of next year, and 500 over the next 5 years. And, you know, they looked at me like I was growing horns, and even my vendors later that were in there said, yeah, we thought, you know, we've been in the industry 40 years. We said, yeah, Gary, right. And now everybody's going, hey, he really did do what he said. We did hit 100 that first year.
Right.
We're on track to hit the 200 this year. So we see us being not only in numbers, but we want to have that reputation out there where we are the name to think of when people think about, you know, any water restoration, smoke, mold, fire. They think of Restoration One. So we're going to do that by dropping them in one city at a time, and then by creating a national CAT team that will go out and take care of large catastrophes, working with our franchisees. So those things are in the works. So we're we're going to continue to grow. This year we added a contents program, which drives more revenue to the franchisees. So our job is to keep finding ways to put money in their pockets.
That's fantastic. What's the best way for our listeners, Gary, to get more information on Restoration One as the franchise opportunity, of course, but even the service itself? Any websites that you'd like them to go to?
Yeah, same thing. So www.restorationone, and it's the number one, not spelled out, restorationone.com.
Okay.
And this website will take you for everything from buying a franchise to getting in touch with one of our franchisees.
That's fantastic. And again, it's been an honor for me to finally get to speak with you. Again, I've been following your career for such a long time now. So again, it's a true privilege for me to speak with you, Gary. It's been really fantastic.
Well,
and I'd like to invite you back, as you continue to grow, because I think Restoration One really has a fantastic franchise opportunity.
Marty, I appreciate the opportunity. Same thing. I've heard many great things about you and really appreciate you having us on. Look forward to coming back again.
Oh, thank you. This has been my pleasure, Gary. And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews. Coming up on segment two, you're going to hear what every franchisepreneur needs to know before buying a franchise. We're going to play a clip from our popular Great Quotes in Franchising podcast right here on Franchise Interviews.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open? Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. For each podcast, you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, we've been hosting franchise interviews now over 8 years and over 400 shows, and during that time we've had some incredible quotes on our show. Today you're going to get to hear from Chris Simic, who is the founder of FranchiseTeacher.com, and Chris has over 30 years of business and franchise experience as an independent business owner, a franchisee, and a franchisor. And Chris said something very profound that we haven't heard on our show in over 8 years. He mentioned that you have to almost work harder to fail at franchising than to succeed in franchising, and he explains why.
Most people, about 90% I think I've seen, buy a business other than they first looked at.
Wow, that's amazing.
So
that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, that's a big number too, isn't it, Chris? You know, that most people, they go in with these certain expectations and they come out with something different, and I find that fascinating.
I absolutely, it never ceases to astound me, but I think that speaks to the value of franchising as a business model and a business method, because
right. People
don't have to be in something just because they know it. And quite candidly, sometimes getting involved in a business that you would rather do that you were not involved in allows you the luxury of taking a new career path and to develop something you never would have had the opportunity to had it not been, you know, systematized and prioritized for you. You know, in franchising it's said that you have to really almost work harder to fail than to succeed, because if you have a good franchise system,
right,
if you follow directions, you have to almost purposely not follow them to not do well.
That's true. That's fantastic. We have this great quote in franchising. I think we're going to put that one in there, Chris. I think that's very original, and it's very true. What advice would you give to our listeners? You know, we find that most of them, they're just beginning their search to buy a franchise, Chris, and we find that, you know, most of them just simply, they don't even know where to begin, like you were saying. What advice would you give to them?
I do, when I speak to people looking at franchise, I give them three different pieces of advice. One, make sure you're looking for a business for the right reason. Now, a lot of people have things happen in their life. They lose a job or something happens, and they react and maybe say, well, okay, maybe I'll go buy a business. That may not be the reason to do it versus having the luxury of selectivity that here's my opportunity that was created by some adversity. Second thing is that they have to make sure that they are able to be franchisees, that not everybody is designed to be able to follow the systems, procedures, and the processes it takes to be a successful franchise owner. And then I tell them quite candidly is pick a couple of the industries and the price ranges that may have interest to you, and then kind of pin down from there, either using the resources of a consultant or a broker or a team member or on their own, either way. But I think that if they take their time, follow the steps, and do it for the right reasons, they'll be on a much smoother pathway to success in owning their own business.
That's well said. What's in the future then for Franchise Teacher, Chris? I mean, where do you see the company 3 to 5 years down the road?
Well, Marty, we've been extremely fortunate and blessed that the business has been around, you know, through Century Franchise Group for many years. Our new franchiseteacher.com has taken off. We're representing right now, seven-plus brands. I think in 5 years our focus will really be even more fine-tuned as the consumer or the prospective business owner is looking for more and more specific information. Breaking down to teach, coach, consult, and advise, I think will be a way for us to assist people in what they need. You know, people, again, don't know what they don't know, but
right.
I think information overload sometimes discourages people too early. They say, this is too much for me to process.
Mm.
If we can break it down into bite-sized pieces, I think more and more people, especially the younger generation who are looking for the advice and the information they want when they want it, I think is, you know, going to do nothing more than continue. Then our next business venture, which launches at the end of this year, is looking to capture all the different franchise brands around the world and put them into one place. So we're looking forward to a future. And franchising is going nowhere but growing, you know, as you
right.
said, not a long time too. The number of franchise opportunities. And the world's getting to be a smaller place. I think you're going to find a lot opportunities coming in and going out of different marketplaces and different countries accessible to more people.
That's fantastic. What's the best way, Chris, for our listeners to get more information on franchiseteacher.com? Obviously franchiseteacher.com, but any numbers you'd like them to call or email addresses?
Well, actually, we appreciate www.franchiseteacher.com. And
okay.
my business partner, Dave, and I offer them the free one-hour consultation. Fill out the form and take advantage of it.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you again, Chris, for finally coming on the show. You know, I've been following your career for a long time now, you know, and I have just been very impressed with everything that you've done, you know. So when I saw this, I mentioned to you, we don't typically call people to come on the show, you know, but I had to have you specifically on the show. So it was an honor and a privilege to have you on the show today.
Marty, ditto, and again, congratulations on your PhD doctor. I have read your thesis, and I would recommend it reading if people can get through
that's fantastic.
Information.
I really appreciate that you read it too, because that's an honor coming from you. So that's fantastic. Well, I want to thank you again, Chris.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.